let us turn now to Acts chapter 5, the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, and we'll start reading with the 12th verse. We're only reading 12 to 16, a short portion of the scripture today. So Acts 5, 12 through 16. I'll read the word and then we'll have a word of prayer. Beginning then with verse 12, hear now the word of the Lord. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And they were all healed. May the Lord be blessed. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that we might be blessed through this short portion of Scripture, that we might think about the power of which these verses speak, and that we might seek it for our own lives. Not power for display, but power for sanctification. Power for the Word of God. Power for the growth of the kingdom. Oh God, might that be our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We saw last week where after these great displays of power in Pentecost, the amazing events that led to the apostles preaching to the peoples in their own languages. These were Jews from all over the empire, all over the dispersion, many of whom no longer spoke Hebrew. But they would come to Jerusalem and they would have interpreters. But here, on this occasion, there were apostles who knew not these foreign languages and yet were able to speak them miraculously by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there were so many things like that going on. And then we saw last week that portion whereby Ananias and Sapphira are struck dead in the church. Almost as if the Lord was reminding us, despite the power that we see in the grace of God, in the New Testament church, in the Messianic period, and under the Messianic covenant, despite all of those wonders, we need to remember that we are not in heaven yet. That sin still works and roils its ugly head in our hearts and often in our societies. And so last week was almost a reminder that as excited as we get about Christ and the church, and as excited and euphoric as we get about the kingdom of God, we have to be a little bit realistic about things and realize the difficulties that we all face. Now today's message is almost a reminder, it's almost going back to the other direction. And it's reminding us that despite the problems that we have, despite the battles that we fight, despite our discouragements and our depressions, the Lord has great power. I would admit to you, as euphoric as I normally am, I really got down in the dumps earlier in the week. And Wednesday afternoon, the first 3 days of the week, I had very little energy. I felt weak every day and tired, and I just couldn't get much done. And then it struck me Wednesday afternoon. This is what happens when you're depressed. You know, this is a coincidence, or this is a consequence of depression. And so once I realized that, I took it to the Lord, and it helped a great deal. But we get depressed in this life, and we need God's help to awaken us. Now, in this case, these are the realities of our lives. But the Lord wants us to remember, when we do get depressed, when we do get discouraged, there is always the opportunity for new grace. And there, none of us, or all of us, are without excuse if we just lull or or sleep or tarry in the world of depression. We need to continue to ask the Lord wherever we are, and we're all on a spectrum, you know, of happiness, or an easy kind of happiness or an easy kind of discouragement. We're all somewhere on that spectrum, wherever we are. We need to see it as a ladder. And we need to say, Lord, if I'm down here, help me to at least get a couple steps up so I can be an encouragement to other people. And if we're up at the top, you know, we need to remember to pray for our brothers and sisters who don't have it so easily. God has apportioned these things out to us, and who knows if it's according to His wisdom. But who knows? Well, this passage here really leaps out at us with the fact that God had tremendous power. He has it. Sometimes He displays it, and sometimes He doesn't. But it's always available for us in our prayer. I've got 4 points here, starting with verse 4. 4 ways in which God's power was manifested. First of all, it was manifested in these signs and wonders. He said, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. This was an area just inside the larger temple area, but it was where there was in the I think it was on one portion of the court where even the Gentiles could come in. All the families, the women, the children could come into this area. And it was a portion there, and there were many signs and wonders that were being done there. Now you see these signs and wonders. It's talked about some of what they were in the following verses, but these signs and wonders, these were not the result of man. The very fact that it says signs and wonders, that means that it's a sign of the power of God. It's a sign of the divine presence. It's the sign of God's supernatural capacity to enter into the world and do miraculous things, things that are wonders. These are not everyday things. And these things do not come from the hand of men. Now, men can do a lot of things. We can write stuff. We can do woodworking. We can work with clay. We can clean up our houses. We can build buildings. All of those things come to us from our own hands, God working with us to be sure, but they come because of our efforts and the Lord working with us. But these things can only come from God. You cannot heal a man like the crippled man was by the Gate Beautiful, like Peter did. You cannot do that. These things are beyond our capacity. No matter how much education we have, no matter how much medical knowledge we have, we cannot instantaneously change someone's joints who have been working one way their whole life in a dysfunctional way. And all of a sudden, we're going to make them functional. We don't have that power. We can't raise the dead like was done with Lazarus. These things are beyond us, but they represent, you see, the power of God. God here was reminding the people of the power of the living God. Now, this power, not only did it not come from man, not only did it come from God, but we know that this display of power, this explosion of power, exploded because of the work of Christ. In other words, like a detective novel. You follow it back, you know, trying to find the guilty person. And you go and you weave and you deal with this person and that person, and you're going back through all of the people in the story until you find the guilty person. Well, in this case, you're not trying to find the guilty person, you're trying to find the source of power. And in this case, where's the source of power? The source of power is in the gentle Jesus, who was born into this world as a baby, lived a perfect life, and then climbed upon the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. We can talk about the theology of that. But the bottom root issue is that by what Jesus did, great power was obtained. Great power was achieved. Power was achieved in that work so that the most powerful source of energy that the world has ever known could be created in the Godhead because of what Jesus did. And then the Holy Spirit takes one plug and puts it in that big power source. And then he comes to our lives and he takes the other plug and he plugs it into our lives. And all of a sudden we come to life. Just yesterday, in getting these things printed over here, I saw this little speaker, $15 at FedEx. And I've been wanting something, and most of them are 30 and 40. And I tried the wireless. You can hook up to your phones. But the only problem with that was that when I get a phone call in, my speaker would ring. There's probably solutions to that, I'm back to the wires. And so I bought this little thing, and of course it came from the store. The battery wasn't charged up, so I hooked it. I plugged in some wires and charged up the battery, and as soon as the battery got a little bit of a charge in it, then it started work, and I tested it out. I could play music because I put the one plug in the power source and the other plug in the little speaker. Voila, there's music. Well, when the Holy Spirit takes that plug and plugs it into us, and it's connected to the work of Christ, then we start to make music, wonderful redemptive music. The eye of our faith can see and the ears of our faith can hear the music from above. And all of a sudden we stop being zombies. You know, on TV you see those people that, you know, kind of one, they've usually got blood on their face and they're dark, they're charcoal smudgy, and they're walking along like this. Well, that's what we are without the Lord. We're zombies. We're walking, but we're the walking dead. But when our Lord Jesus plugs that plug into us and it's connected to His work by the Holy Spirit, when He does that, then we revive. We become like we were supposed to be. The zombies wash their faces off. They wash the blood off. They stand up straight. All of a sudden they can smile. You know, zombies don't smile. They wander around like brutal kind of people, dull, primitive. But Christian people, you can see it in their eyes. They have a happiness deep down, a soul kind of happiness, and they come alive. Why don't the people of the world, why can't the people of the world see this? Why don't the people of the world become jealous for the spiritual life in Christ, which is possible, which they can see in the better churches of our land, in the biblical churches of our land? Why do people stumble along in zombieism? But they do. And so this power that was connected to the signs and wonders is all connected to Jesus Christ and to His work. And we see a tremendous manifestation and power, and it's the signs and the wonders are named appropriately because God wanted people to see the power. He wanted people to not be able to ignore the power connected to Jesus Christ. And so when you see these signs and wonders, the signs point to Jesus and the wonders say, "You got to be kidding me. This is possible in this world. Why would you possibly languish in zombiedom when you can be alive, living, breathing, happy creature?" Okay, the second power we see in verse 14, where it says, "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." So here we see the power of people. Now verse 13 had said that because of the arrests and because of the persecution that many of the Christians who had just been won to faith a week ago, many of them kind of hung back. But despite the fact that they were still hanging back, the Lord wasn't finished. The Lord does not work on the basis of how much human excitement we have. The Lord's work is based upon His own eternal decrees. The commands that the Father passes to the Son as the Son sits at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenly places. That's what God's work is based upon. That's what God's designs are based upon. That's what God's providences are based upon. And so here we see that despite the fact that there were some that were hanging back, we see that the people responded anyway. And believers, verse 14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. There is a power to people. People, each of us is made in the image of God. When we respond to the gospel and when we identify with the Church of Christ, that's an exciting thing. And when it goes from individuals here and there to multitudes, it gets downright exciting. And it exemplifies the fact that there's an amazing power behind the scenes. This world is not a world unto itself. God exists. This cosmos is not a cosmos that made itself. God created the cosmos. And when a bunch of people begin to respond to the Lord, there is a symbolism and a manifestation in that breeds excitement, because people are exciting creatures. We're made in the image of God. We display characteristics of the deity in terms of being knowing creatures, in terms of being creatures that truly love and get excited about things that are good. God is alive and well, and He's working in the people. So, first we see the power of signs and wonders. Secondly, we see the power of people. Thirdly, we see the power in verse 15 of the multitudes that came out into the streets because they had seen the healing, they'd seen the power that was associated with the apostles. And so, they had needs in their lives, especially physical needs, and so they came out into the streets. And it says in verse 15, they brought their sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And there was so much power in the apostles through the grace of God. This was not in them, but it was by the grace of God. So the apostles were coming to the temple daily to preach, and as they made their way to the temple, the people were lying out in the streets are pretty narrow, and the people were just coming and lying there to get as close to Peter as they could, because evidently many of these things were being done through the power of Peter. From verse 12, it indicates that these things were done by a lot of the apostles, but here it mentions specifically Peter and the work that was being done there by him. And so, I mean, to think of this, that God was being so full of grace that just walking down the street, being in some proximity, can you believe if you had some sort of a cancer or some sort of a problem where you just couldn't get well, or some sort of a deformity, and you're just lying in within 5-10 feet of these men as they walk to the temple area every day. And as they walk by, you're rising up and praising the Lord and saying, you know, that this is, and this is not like modern healings where they say, well, just believe. You know, you're still walking like this, you know, because you got a problem, or the cancer is hurting your gut, but Joe, just believe. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel, how you look, doesn't matter that you're missing an eye, you know, or you can't hear in your ears, just believe. No, when the apostles went by, it changed. You got your hearing, you got your eyesight. If you were missing an eye, all of a sudden there was an eye there. If your leg had been cut off, all of a sudden there was another leg there, because of the miraculous power of God. We need to realize that there was power in this. And when you compare this with other religions, I mean, let's do a little comparative religion here, like you might take in college. Is there any other religion in the world that has accounts like this, that has people giving testimonies like this? I mean, there's nothing like this in Buddhism. A Buddhism, there are people that are practitioners, there are people that believe that Buddhism can help you get through the world by just denying that evil exists. And they say, you know, if you deny it, if you deny these things, if you don't believe in them, then they won't bother you anymore. You may die, but you won't notice them anymore. But you see, there's no other, whether it's Islam, Islam can change a culture, mostly for the worst. You can make your city Islamic, but that's by killing a bunch of people. It's not by resurrecting a bunch of people. In animism, you can go into the jungles and you can find primitive peoples. And yeah, they're religious, but are they happy? Were there ever any historical accounts like this that relate the power of a savior to healing people like this? No. So here we see a power that is really unique. Lastly, in verse 16, we see how there was power manifested in the whole region. In verse 16, it says, "Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." Wouldn't you love it today? You know, a lot of homeless people we suspect are schizophrenic, and terrible mental problems, mental diseases, and we don't know always the source of these things. And in some cases, they can be related to demonic activity. Now, wouldn't you like it? I mean, it's not, you can't say one for one for sure, but wouldn't, if you had a child that had some kind of terrible mental problem like that, wouldn't you love to bring them to a place like Jerusalem and just see if by the power of the apostles, if that child could be healed, and all of a sudden he no longer needed what was then the equivalent of psychiatrists and doctors and that sort of thing, and he was made well. The spiritual cleanliness of Christ was also powerful in the psychological world or the spiritual world where these things took root. So we see that there was all of this power that was being displayed. Yes, Ananias and Sapphira had sinned. Yes, they had been struck dead by the Spirit of God. Yes, the church has these kinds of problems, but the church also has access to the power of God. And I preach this to you today as good news, because we so often in our lives get into a routine or a rut where we just take whatever negatives are in our lives, behaviors, inabilities or incapacities to cope with things. We take the status quo and we say there's just no hope of ever improving. There's no hope of ever doing anything better. And that is a demonic lie. The power of God is always available. And God told the Israelites, "I'm not going to push all of your enemies out of the land immediately. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for it by prayer and activity. But bit by bit, I'm going to allow you to take more and more property of the land of Palestine for yourself." It's analogous to our lives. The Lord gives us more and more victories if we aim at those, if we seek those out in our lives. The Lord gives us more and more victories as we are propelled along the pilgrimage of Christ. And God wants us to know this. Now, let's just summarize the applications here. First of all, from Christ to the United States and the church, we are in a terrible situation here. There's a cumulative effect to either grace or sin. And right now, our nation is in the clutches of sin and death. The death of Justice Scalia yesterday. We were already having terrible Supreme Court justices. Half of our Supreme Court should be impeached, clearly. They should be impeached because they no longer follow the Constitution. And that is their one responsibility. They took an oath to be bound by the words of the Constitution, not to try to figure out what the nation needs outside of the Constitution. And half of them, if not more, are seized with this mindset. They think that their job is to sort of be super governors and sleuth out in their brains what the nation really needs. So based on that, they've said, oh, the nation, the women of the nation need freedom to abort their children. So even though the Constitution said that they're supposed to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, even though that's a part of our constitutional tradition, they said, well, that's there, but what we need. And it's like a baby crying, and you just say, well, regardless of what you know as an adult, you're going to heed the baby's cry and give the baby sugar or something like that, when you know in the end that will only cause the baby more problems later on. These men in robes with the greatest sense of respect that we're supposed to give them have done nothing else but corrupt the land. And now, one of the two most conservative of these judges, him and Clarence Thomas, are the two most constitutional of the bunch. One of them dies. Well, what's going to happen? We don't know. We could be pessimists and we could just say, oh, woe is me. Or we could be men of grace and pray and ask God for his power. God is inscrutable. Sometimes the very things that look like it is an open door for the devil, sometimes those things work out to be a trap. And as the devil's people rush like a horde of darkness into the breach, they find that God has planted a trap there for them that they cannot escape, from which they cannot escape. And I've seen that happen again and again and again in history. So we need to pray for power for our nation and for the churches of our nation. Because the nation, when a nation is as sick as ours, you know that the happy things that people say about the churches are false. Because there's a direct connection between the churches and the nation, between the churches and the people. And when the nation and the people are sick, it's a barometer, it's a clear indication that the churches of our land are sick. And they need to know something of the power of God. And so we need to pray for that. Secondly, we need prayers for reversals from the fall, better situations in our lives, better situations in our families, better situations in our companies, in our jobs. We need to ask God's help. Thirdly, we need more prayer for individuals and the cultures in which we live. We're just pretending. Today in our culture, we're afraid to let our children go out on the streets and be alone because of child molesters, because the predators that teem the streets. And we pretend that this is no different than it was even 40 years ago. Well, 40 years ago, if you were a child molester, you had to worry about your life because people would take you out. Because they would be so angry. They definitely wouldn't. If they saw you, a child molester, leering at their children, fathers would go out and beat you up right on the street. That was when I grew up, when I was a boy. They wouldn't let you get close to their families. And they wouldn't worry about getting arrested because you were too close to their children. Because people would say, well, that guy deserved it. He should have known. He was quote, blessed to be out of prison at all. He shouldn't have been hanging around the schoolyard leering at children where he would scare other people. Lastly, we need to pray for ourselves spiritually. We need to pray for greater love and for selflessness in our marriages, in our own lives. We need to pray for ourselves in this regard. We need to seek the power of Christ. God is real. He can help us, and we need help. So do those outside the Church of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that Thou wouldst be with us. We need Thy help so much, O Lord. So does our nation, so does our land. We pray that Thou wouldst save us, O God, from ourselves. We pray that Thou wouldst save us from humanism. We pray that Thou wouldst greatly affect the mindset of the people of the land. Right now they are happy and blessed in secularism. They think that Thou dost say in Thy word, blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. They think blessed is the people who leave God alone, who live their lives in the absence of God. Only one of those two propositions can be true. We pray, O Lord, that You would convince this nation and this world that people are blessed, not when they have space between themselves and Thee, but when they are intimate with Thee. And they love Thee. They adore Thee. We pray that Thou wouldst bless us in the same way, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.